Amen. Lord, we just thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, we praise your name. Amen.
The gospel of the wife of the Lamb has left the Gentile world. It has crossed the sea to walk in Galilee, and I bring glad tidings as the queen. Oh, now I walk with you in Galilee, where there's shown such things as these. For the wife of the Lamb in Israel is showing forth Jesus Christ the King. Oh, now I walk with you in Galilee, where there's shown such things as these. For the wife of the Lamb in Israel is showing forth Jesus Christ the King. A new beginning in this moment of time, and we're rejoicing in this twinkling of an eye. Flesh and bones now glorified, giving witness as the King is magnified. Oh, now I walk with you in Galilee, where there's shown such things as these. For the wife of the Lamb in Israel is showing forth Jesus Christ the King. The gospel of the wife of the Lamb has left the Gentile world. Oh, it has crossed the sea to walk in Galilee, and I bring glad tidings as the queen. Oh, now I walk with you in Galilee, where there's shown such things as these. For the wife of the Lamb in Israel is showing forth Jesus Christ the King. A new beginning in this moment of time, and we're rejoicing in this twinkling of an eye. Flesh and bones now glorified, giving witness as the King is magnified. Oh, now I walk with you in Galilee, where there's shown such things as these. For the wife of the Lamb in Israel is showing forth Jesus Christ the King. Oh, now I walk with you in Galilee, where there's shown such things as these. For the wife of the Lamb in Israel is showing forth Jesus Christ the King. For the wife of the Lamb in Israel is showing forth Jesus Christ the King. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Thank you, Barbara Jean. That's very good. Amen. All right. Amen. We just appreciate the Lord this morning and appreciate you. When I say appreciate you, I'm saying appreciate the Lord. Amen. Because he talked as you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Good to be here, too. Amen. Good to see the bright sunshine. Amen. This is a little bit strange. Usually, this time of year, it's getting a little warmer than it is right now. Amen. But the sun's shining out good, and it's very comfortable. Praise the Lord. So we just appreciate that. I'm glad God got somebody to control the weather. Amen. Just appreciate him and the way that he's moving. Amen. And he's able to do, and he is doing, exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or even think. Praise the Lord. All right. So today, I want to talk about a special kind of righteousness. A special kind of righteousness, I believe, would be the title, at least to begin with, and I think it would probably stay with that. Amen. But the righteousness of God, amen, and how we come about it. There's a lot to talk about when we begin to talk about the righteousness of God. And when we're talking about the righteousness of God, it strangely enough, there was that church age messenger of the fifth church age, Martin Luther. Amen. He was in Catholicism, and he just couldn't never find the righteousness that he desired. They felt where he really felt like he was clean, and so he tried the different things, the different sacrifices, and the things of that nature. And then one day a voice spoke to him and says, "The righteousness of God's by faith." Amen. And we pick it up there that by faith in God, faith in what God's doing for each time period. And we know that most denominations has lost their way in that they haven't went back so much, but they haven't moved forward. And if you don't move forward, that's a amount to moving backward, say. Amen. But he really began to thank God and think about this. But one day, it is said, now I'll repeat this from Brother William Brown. I haven't read it personally other than something Brother Brown said he was walking, he was crawling up the steps on broken glass to do penance so that he could feel better in his soul. And when he got almost to the top, there was a voice spoke to him. By then he was getting pretty bad shape. A voice spoke to him and said, "Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith." Amen. And that so changed his life. So that was the message that he went forth with. The just shall live by faith. Amen. That excludes any works that we might do to obtain greater righteousness. Now, the righteousness of God, it's given freely. And what we do, yes, it counts, but it counts because we do what we do not to be righteous or not to gain something from God. God made us righteousness. Amen. By faith, he made us righteous. And we do what we do because we appreciate him, we love him. And so we come on down, and we find there was a man named Paul. He kind of picked up and went that same route. You'll find that in Romans there. Amen. How that he brought it in about living by faith and the things of God, how it comes by faith. And so I wanted to read the scripture. I was reading here this morning earlier in Matthew chapter 5, which is a great, great chapter. But when we're reading in Matthew chapter 5, we're reading what was taking place and how everything was before Calvary and before Pentecost and, before his resurrection and all. Amen. And he began to bring in a lot, blessed are you, blessed this, and if you do this or that, the other. But here I believe I'll read in verse 20. The whole chapter's good. But I don't want to do over much reading this morning. But I want to read chapter 5. I'll read verse 20. And maybe we'll read more as we go along. But it says, but I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. Now here was a righteous people that was righteousness by their thoughts, by what they thought they could do, and they based it strictly on works. And that was kind of the way the law presented it. But Jesus began to introduce something different. Amen. He began to introduce a righteousness that was far beyond that. A righteousness that has nothing to do with works, and yet it does not destroy works. Amen. So that's the thing we want to look at here just a little bit. And we'll move on to something, some of the word in just a bit here. But I want you, first of all, I want to establish the fact of the righteousness of God. It is something that God does, something God gives, and he don't base it on what we do, don't do, or did, or will do. Amen. He bases it strictly on his will. Amen. And he put our names in the book of life, according to the book of Revelation. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. See, so all that righteousness was already figured out. And the book of life is a book of life that was written. Amen. Before man has ever put on the earth. And we've been bringing that in lately, the last few weeks, on God dreamed. Amen. And he's dreamed certain things. He thought certain things out. And when I said dreams, I'm talking a daydream, because with God there is no day nor night or anything of that nature. But he's the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here to a people that has got so ingrained in works. Amen. And what they do and what they don't do, that they built their salvation so much on works that it was basically leaving out what God had planned for. Because God planned include a righteousness that one says, come without money, come without pride. And the righteousness of God is the righteousness that counts. In fact, it's the only one to count. And he's telling us, you accept your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. And outwardly, they were the most righteous people on earth. Fact is, they were so righteous that they condemned everything but that didn't do like they do. And seek righteousness in the same way. Amen. And that was taken from a law that God gave Moses to get them up to Calvary. See, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of times it was just works. But now, by this time in the history of God dealing with mankind, it has developed so much into works that righteousness was based strictly on works. Amen. But Jesus talking to his disciples, this is in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, you begin to see that blessed are they that do this and that and the other and so on, and begin to tell about blessed, being blessed. And here he brings something in that was astounding to a people that was taught that it was strictly by what they did and what they did not do. And many times, their lineage. Take, for instance, a priest. His sons and different ones got so they would follow. And it got to the place soon where that everything got so that it would be just something that wouldn't work out real good. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm having a little trouble right here with a tape. Amen. I got some new tapes in and they don't seem to work real good. They want to stop. So I'm pausing just a second. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. So if you'll bear with me just a bit right here, we'll be back in business here. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, sometimes I hate this when something go just a bit wrong. Used to it would really bother me much worse than now. But it's just something that we want to get started off here. Amen. All right. Praise be the name of the Lord. Now we're going. Amen. Had to change tapes here in the middle of getting started off here. But I want to get this righteousness. To me, it's very important. And the most important part of it is this. Amen. Finding out where our righteousness is at. Because it gives us peace of mind. Takes away anxiety. Amen. And all those things. Because you realize that this righteousness comes from God. And this righteousness is a righteousness that's the only one that God accepts. God does not accept another righteousness. Amen. He accepts only the one, the righteousness that come by what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Amen. He died on Calvary for us. And when he came back in the form of the Holy Ghost. Amen, the Spirit of God. And when he came back that way, and the people believed and accepted, amen, it began to lay out a different thing that God's doing. Amen, it's bringing righteousness by faith. And I find out, I came up through Pentecost for a good bit of my earlier life. And I'm 85 now, so I started off just a child. Amen. Way too young, I think, but must have been right some way or another for training and et cetera. But we find out that they were built upon works. It was a similar situation as the Pharisees here and the Sadducees. And Jesus said, as righteous as they were, and they were as righteous as one could humanly be in this earth. You could not be more humanly righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees was. Amen. When it comes to keeping what Moses said, and not only what Moses said, but adding on to other things that would seem to make them more righteous. And they begin to accept that righteousness, and faith had very little to do with it. It developed strictly in the works. They were born that way, raised that way, and knew nothing else but that. That's why it was so strange when there came a message out that you could be righteous by faith and faith alone. Amen. And that's what I want to say. Paul began to bring this out in his day, which got lost. And then God under Martin Luther restored it back. And it's been something that went on. And when the Pentecostal age was renewed back, starting in about the 1900, 1906, I believe, was when some great Pentecostal revivals broke out. Amen. And they began to speak with tongues and so on. And they took it all the way back to Pentecost. And that wasn't bad, but they didn't want to move forward from there. Amen. They began to build on works. Now, I know there was a time when I wouldn't drink coffee and wouldn't do certain things in Pentecost because of righteousness. And my pastor says, if there's something you like real good, give it up for the Lord. And he'll bless you. And just heaping on works, 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 till it got so burdened down that it was hard to really see the Lord and love the Lord and enjoy the blessings of the Lord like we should. Amen. So I liked ice cream real good, and still do when I eat ice cream. But back in those days, I said, I'll give that up for the Lord. Maybe that'll help me to get a little closer, because I want to be closer to the Lord. And everything I thought would make me get a little closer to the Lord, that's some of the things I would do. But lo and behold, one day he opened my eyes, just like he did those two disciples there at Emmaus, when he talked to them and their heart burned within them. But they still didn't know about the crucifixion, resurrection, even though he told them a few days that the Son of Man would go into Jerusalem and be crucified, and he'll raise again on the third day. Somehow that just slipped their mind. But when they went in for a meal in the late evening, Jesus began to break bread. And the way he was doing it was something they saw only from one man. Amen. They saw Jesus doing that. And they all of a sudden, they realized, that the Bible says their eyes was open. At first it says it was their eyes was holding. That means they couldn't understand, couldn't see, because it wasn't quite time. But then their eyes was open. Amen. And they saw who Jesus Christ was, and that he'd risen from the dead. And that's when he went back to Jerusalem, the two disciples did, with the other 12 and others. And Jesus appeared. They were talking about it. And they said, you know, there's a tale. Some of them women said that Jesus had rose from the dead. And Mary said that Jesus even talked to her. Amen. And they were carrying on like that. These tales, they said they had vision, but they didn't. And all of a sudden, as they were talking this way, here comes Jesus in the midst. And when he did, they were affrighted and thought they were seeing a spirit. It's a spirit, they were saying. Amen. And Jesus said, have a spirit got flesh and bone? And said, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him fish and honey, and he ate. And all of a sudden, their eyes, instead of holding, their eyes was open. Amen. They said, indeed, the Lord has risen. Glory be to God. So that began to establish certain righteousness, the real righteousness, the only righteousness, because prior to this, it was a righteousness that was done strictly by what we do, how we offer a sacrifice, and so on, and take a little lamb or a sheep to the priest and let him offer for us the sins. And there were certain things they offered, turtle doves and so on like that, trying to be righteous. Amen. But here come a righteousness that didn't require any of those things. Fact is, all those things would deviate from the righteousness of God and make the righteousness of God of none effect. Amen. And because they were seeking it by works. And Paul brought that in, how they make the gospel of none effect, because they didn't go about to seek righteousness. This getting in the 9th and 10th chapter of the book of Romans there. Amen. The Jews there, they sought righteousness by works, thereby denying the righteousness of God and making the righteousness of God of none effect. Amen. And sometimes we, if we're not careful, we have begun to attach works to this. Amen. And yes, works are good. Good works is good, as long as you don't put it in the realm of helping you to be more righteous. Amen. The righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect, it's complete, and cannot be added to or taken from. Amen. So we go with his righteousness. He gives us his righteousness because he's the only one, and that would be typical of him taking the book and open it, because that's the book of life, the dream, the Bible, and so on, and all that has salvation. Amen. And there, when he took the little book and opened it, he was the only one. They looked in heaven, it says, and they looked in earth. And someone wrote a song about that, and it's very good. They searched through heaven and earth and so on. Amen. They searched everywhere for someone could take the book. But there was one thing that could do it. Not works or anything. It was a bloody lamb. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When he went to Calvary, amen, there he went and paid the price for all. And that was typical of taking the book of life out of the hand of the Father. Amen. He came and he took the book. Amen. And began to open the seals and began to reveal and so on. And we see there that there was within that a righteousness. Amen. And it didn't come by if I do this or if I don't do that. It came by your name being in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Amen. Because he saw the kind of heart you would have. A lot of people want to be told, you can't do this, you can't do that, and so on and so forth like that. And when you come to the gospel that has none of these do's and don'ts in it, amen, it's just Christ living his life through you, and the right thing will happen then. Praise the Lord. So that's why I'm rejoicing today. That's why I'm happy in the Lord. That's why we're complete in him. Amen. And we just love him with all of our heart. And as we come down to this end time, we find there's to be, and there was to be all along, the wife of the Son of God. Amen. Now we see it come into being, see. And it's the same way. It's not by works, not by do's and don'ts. Amen. But it's a creative word, a message come forth. And those that can hear, that has ears to hear, amen, this creative message, it just becomes so much part of them, and they rest. They rest in the Lord. They rest in the Word. And they're not tore up wondering if they're doing enough. And I used to do that. I used to go somewhere and preach every night or prayer meetings and just run for many years. Amen. And then I began to realize that I'm running and my running is in vain. Amen. It takes trusting. Trust in him no matter come what may. Amen. So that's what we're talking about this morning. So that we can, I just got some water here, and it sure helps wet these vocal cords down. But we're talking here about the righteousness, and we're not trying to pray it down. We're not trying to work it down. Amen. But we just accept it by faith without works. Glory to God. And that righteousness is the righteousness of the wife of the Lamb. There's a message come for that. Now, there's the two things in the Bible, and I brought these in. I trust that it'll be profitable to you to bring this in. There is a righteousness that has works involved with it. Amen. And it has to do with white robes. Amen. Having on white robes and so forth. And these that... we find that in the book of Revelation. We find two garments. There's one, a fine linen, clean and white, which in biblical days, there was nothing no greater than that. And that is the garment that the Lord Jesus Christ supplies freely his wife. Amen. She's dressed in fine linen, clean and white. Amen. While on the other hand, and I have a message that I don't want to get involved with too much here because of the working of God and the working of the Lord Jesus Christ and how they don't conflict one with the other. Amen. And therefore, the wife of the Lamb, she learns her righteousness and she don't try to get the righteousness from those that are dressed in white robes, which has works and so on attached to it. And those that are in white robes, amen, we often say, Barbara and I got a saying around here, let's don't try to take the righteousness away from that they have. Amen. Because there's certain people have certain righteousness, and they're to fall in that slot. And they're happy with it because the Bible says in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation that before the throne, they're praising God and so on with the palms in their hand, all dressed in white robes, see. Glory to God. Well, that white robe, that's the people of God that he shed his blood for. They bought, amen, when he took the book, he bought everything that's in the book. Amen. And he bought all that. But within that, there came a group that John saw, and it's mentioned there in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, and it makes it very vivid. Amen. There's a group that's dressed in fine linen, clean and white. And these here, they are a separate group from the one that dressed in white robes. And it makes a big difference, see. Amen. If we understand the white robes and we understand the fine linen, then we can understand there is Christianity spread out into the world. Amen. And that kind of Christianity, the Antichrist has got in and made systems of different ways and so on. But still within that, there's a people that has a certain righteousness. Amen. They're dressed in white robes. And then, here in the very near future, there will come a message for them. Amen. And that message will do one thing. By this time, the systems out here will be completely taken over by the Antichrist, which you can see that's pretty much the system now. It's pretty much the way it is. And we'll find there's a people in there that, and they're not going to move. What I say might It might, that one here and there might come out or something that way, but I can say, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. And it has very little effects. God has saw to that. This is a separate group, not a large group, but I want you to know that group is a huge group. Amen. Like the sand of the sea, and a group without number. Amen. They stand before God in white robe, praising Him and so on, and they serve Him day and night, the Bible says. Amen. In other words, they're constantly serving Him. But then there's another group, a small group, and the word says, fear not, little flock. So it puts in there that the wife of the Lamb, or those that the special group, is small compared to all the other. Now, I know when it said, fear not, little flock, you weren't talking basically to the bride, but I just want to get little flock in here rather than a number that's like the sand of the sea, a huge number, dressed in white robes. But here will come a message. Hallelujah. And that message will be, come out of her, my people. Don't bow down to the beast. And so on. And it goes on like that. You'll find that it's in the 14th chapter, I believe. We can start in the 7th, go all the way through. We have a book, interpreted book. It tells a lot about that. But the point being here is that there's a group that has a lot of works, has a lot of different ideas, amen, but they really love Christ in such a way that they express it very vividly, amen. But then when it comes to the word, what we believe, and about the wife, they don't know much about it. And I think here about the brother that took some CDs to listen to. And the brother that worked with him said, he came to him one morning and said, I tell you, I like Brother Ben's preaching in a way, but said, there's one thing that I don't understand. So he talks about the why. And says, I like to hear people talk about the church. And so on. Tell about the church and what about the church out here? Well, there's coming a message for that. Amen. And when it does, it'll be so fitting. Amen. It'll work perfectly. If I get out here and do that now, then I would be actually going contrary to the calling, because I'm not called for that group. I am called as a minister to the wife of the Lamb, see. Glory to God, that group that's dressed in fine linen, clean and white, and their righteousness comes strictly from the Lord, not do's and don'ts, not works, but yet you'll not find a group more faithful in the things of the Lord, and they do it just because they love the Lord, and just because it's in them, and just because that's what they're comfortable doing. Amen. While the other group, they all constantly try to find ways, something they can do that'll put them a little closer to God. And I can speak by experience, since I came up in my earlier times, and God let me go right through that. Amen. My earlier times come up through that, and it was constantly, what could I do today? What could I do? And fasting 2 or 3 days a week, and sometimes 25 days, and a couple of times 40 days, amen, and those things, trying to be just what I ought to be, amen. Well, now I quit trying to be that. I just let the Lord move through me, and the things that He does through me, that's the will of the Lord, see, amen. I'm not resistant of any of the things of God that I'm aware of, but I don't try to do this, try to do that, try to knock on doors and invite people out and so on like that. Now, if God specifically leads you like He did Peter on the housetop and tell you go to a certain household and give them some word, then that's the will of God, and you'll do it with pleasure, and God will be working on the other end, see. Praise the Lord. So our righteousness, what do? We rest in the righteousness that he's given without trying to add to. It's very sufficient like it is. And if we try to add to, amen, it just adds frustration to us. Amen. When the wife of the Lamb is not frustrated, glory to God. Amen. She's bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Glory to God. Married to the Lamb of God. And John says the wife of the Lamb. See, not the virgin of the Lamb, the wife of the Lamb. Now, early on, Paul talked about the virgin of the Lamb, and that would be in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 2 and 3. There he telling about that he was to present them as a chaste virgin to Christ, but said, I fear lest as a serpent beguile Eve, you'll be distracted from the thing that God has laid down for you. Amen. And therefore, the way the word works, amen, it keeps this separated here. And at one time I thought a Christian is a Christian. And that's so. But they have their places in God. And there was a time when it was taught to us that when we stand before the judgment of God, he'll divide out what we're to be and what we're to do. Amen. But the wife of the Lamb is part of him. Glory to God. He gives her the Christ part of the name. Amen. Jesus got the Christ part of the name when he was when he was baptized by John. You'll get that in the third and fourth chapter of Matthew. And there he was, he became Jesus the Christ. Amen. And that's the way it's been all the way through now. Jesus the Christ has taken a wife, and he has given that wife the Christ part of the name, the feminine part. Amen. And we find there in the book of Genesis, and if I repeat this and said this before, that's what the message is that God has given me. Amen. We find there in the book of Genesis, when he created man, created he them, male and female, created he him. And that would be Genesis 1:27, I believe. Amen. And there we get we learn a little more about God. Amen. That God, in his nature, he had portion there that's a male and female, so he's the God of the female as much as he's God of the male. Amen. And that will go contrary to much of the teaching that we've heard many, many years ago, which of recent years hadn't been an issue. Amen. But God give men certain types of gifts and give women certain types of gifts. Amen. We think about, I believe it was it Stephen had seven or four daughters, and they prophesied, but they didn't preach. Amen. They were part of God in that sense, part of the plan of God, and they're very valuable. Amen. In that God could use male and female. And that was so astounding to the disciples, which you can't blame them. Amen. When Jesus called his disciples, the 12, he got 12 men. Amen. But in getting 12 men, he got one. He said, "I've chosen 12, one of you is the devil." And the Bible says many of those that walk with him walk no more. Why? Because he began to bring in certain things. Amen. Of the predestination of God. I was with the Father before the world was. And all those things, it just goes far beyond them. But to us, praise God, that's what we love. Amen. I was with the Father before the world was. How was we with him? We were part of that word. Amen. That was part of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was part of the Godhead. We're part of the Godhead part of God, while all others Yes, they have their place in God. They're part of God, but not part of the Godhead part of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and his wife. Amen. And that's what God did for us, made us the wife of the Lamb. Amen. And our righteousness is strictly in that, in his calling, in his placing. That's where our righteousness is at, and that's why we rejoice. That's why we're not worried. And the Pentecostals, they, and I say this, and I'm not criticizing the Pentecostal. There's some fine people there. Amen. But they were all time, and especially before they got, they went back to the world a lot now. But way before this, they were constantly finding, trying to think of ways that they would do something to please God and get a little closer to God. And it all had to do with what they could do and what they couldn't do. And I never did feel led too much to give out tracts, gospel tracts. But they preach it so hard that I think years ago, this has been many, many years ago, I would think that I need to do something. And so someone would print some tracts up and just tell about Jesus somewhat. And want me, along with some of the others, to like go to parking lots and put them on people's cars and so on like that. And say, we need to do something with God. We need to work. Work while it's day, for the night cometh when there no man can work. And scripture like that. And we're at the end time. We need to do these things. We need to spend every moment doing what we can. So I would do that, and I'd say, some people would come by and pick them up, just look at them and throw them down and go on. So I'd come back behind and pick them up and put them on another vehicle, hoping they would get to read it and maybe the Lord would speak to them some way. Amen. But God will get his own, see. Amen. There's not one will be lost, see. Amen. That's what Jesus said there in John, St. John 17 chapter. All that thou hast given me, I've lost none. Amen. Save the son of perdition, which was lost to begin with. So all these things come in here, and when we realize the right, we have no burden. We don't bear a burden as to whether I'm righteous or not, whether this or whether that. Amen. We just praise God, rejoice in him. Amen. And now there's a message that God has saw fit while we weren't looking, while the world weren't looking, and while many that's part of the wife of the Lamb weren't looking, God laid a message in. Amen. In book form now. Glory to God. It's like where the book of Acts, where it gives out. Amen. And the word picks up. And now in this end time that we're living in, as these churches die away, amen, there's still some within there. They struggle. They do all they can. Amen. Whatever they can do to try to be better or make something that they would be more pleasing to God, they'll try to do certain things. Amen. But everybody, when everybody gets in their place, they are happy in the Lord. Amen. And and with this, there comes a righteousness, see. Amen. Now, the Pharisees, except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and Sadducees, we shall in no wise enter in. He said, this shows the mentality that Jesus was laying in there, that you don't have to worry about do's and don'ts. Amen. We're past the do's and don'ts. Amen. It's God, when the Holy Ghost came in, the life of Christ, then it's Christ leading and guiding. Hallelujah. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter spoke of water baptism, amen, he didn't read it out of the book somewhere. Amen. And whatever name they used, we don't know prior to that when John was baptized, we don't know what name he used, if he used one, but I baptize you for the remission of sins, see. Amen. Well, that followed through, and everything God was just, in other words, God was fulfilling certain things and opening up others. Now, that third chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, and we have a message on it, amen, where that their glory fades away, and the glory of this so outshine and show, and so stands up so much higher than the thing of works, amen, that Jesus, it was very important for Paul to write it in there. He said, like the glory that Moses had when he came off the mountain, his face was lit with the glory of God. Amen. The people had to put a veil on his face in order to look upon his face, see? Amen. And Paul began to take that and take it apart for us and show how this was much greater. That was for that day and hour. But one thing he said, the veil is still on the places, on the faces of those that don't accept the righteousness of God. Amen. And there's a veil upon them because they still want to dabble around if I do this or if I don't do that and so on. Well, you don't have to worry about if I do or if I don't and so on like that. Amen. Amen. Let Jesus speak through you. Let Jesus work through you. Amen. Amen. When I say Jesus, I'm talking about the Christ part. Amen. That see, Jesus weren't Christ. And then some people say, one preacher said something to do me here a while back, said, one of the greatest things, revelation you brought recently, I believe, he said, you let us know. I always preach that Christ was born 2,000 years ago. Amen. But it says, after I heard your message, I see that Christ has always been there with the Father, and it weren't that Christ was born, amen, or Christ was born 2,000 years ago. It was that Jesus was born, and he become a carpenter. He helped his uncle, I believe, in a business, and so on. This is from history, not Bible. So he was just he's a normal man, but he was a good man. He grew in grace. And he grew in favor with God and man. Amen. He was just a real good carpenter. He bought and sold under his uncle there. And he was very honest. He was honest to a fault, we would say. Amen. In other words, if one penny difference, he'd want to be right on the penny. Amen. Then here comes, he got baptized by John, the Spirit led him, and when he did, the heavens was open. See, the heavens was open. And here come Christ into him. And now he weren't Jesus the carpenter or Jesus the salesman or something of that nature. He was Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Amen. And that's when Jesus Christ came into reality, took first 30 years of his life to grow up, to be a man, and so on. Amen. But then this came into him. It's so different. And now something has come into it, and it makes us so different. Amen. We're not concerned too much about do's and don'ts and works and so on. Amen. But we just praise God, glorify God, and rejoice in the Lord, and all these things. Amen. It's so good and so wonderful to see the works of God, and it gives you absolutely peace of mind. You will not see the wife of the Lamb that's being taught, that's hearing these messages and so on. You'll not hear them being so troubled about their salvation. Amen. Or am I righteous enough or not? Should I do this to become more righteous, or should I do that? Amen. It's not there. Amen. But it's the glory of God that's shined forth through us. And us knowing, let me say that good, us knowing that we're part of him. Whatever he is, we're part of him, but not the masculine part, But the feminine part, just like Adam, when he was created, amen, Eve was right there in him. That's why God didn't create Eve from the dust of the earth. Amen. He created Eve from a rib that taken he took from Adam. Then he took that feminine part of that spirit from Adam and put in Eve. And now what you got? The king and the queen of all the earth. Adam and Eve. Glory to God. And so that's what this whole thing paints this picture. It's God's dream, God's daydream being interpreted. And now we see the whole thing. He's making the whole thing known. And when all of it's made known to the details that he's ordained, glory to God, that definitely, that's the time that the dream is finished. And we go into that millennia, then on into eternity from there. Amen. So that's where we're at today. Glory to God. So we're not laboring to be a greater Christian or a more dedicated Christian, because we're dedicated to him anyway. All right. So at this time, I believe we'll close out here. And I just hope you get this here, because it's a simple message. And we had the little tape hang up there, and some might let that hinder you a little, but just get that off your mind and accept and realize this. You have a righteousness that's unparalleled, that cannot be duplicated, that cannot be impersonated. And it's a righteousness, amen, that strictly come from him. Amen. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word. Thank you for all the good things you've done for us and are doing. And Lord, we rest in you. Amen. And we're not, don't have anxiety or frustration about salvation. Amen. Lord, we know that all things are working the way that the dream said. And now we see what you put here to be sure that we understood it and understand. And Lord, we're just so happy in thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Praise God. All right, Bob, you have one for us tonight? Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
I just want to say a little something about a special kind of righteousness. That's the title of this message. And there was a message that was preached some time back called "The Righteousness Which Is of the Fullness of the Faith of Christ Has Spoken." Yeah. And that's that special kind of righteousness. Paul laid in the foundation of righteousness, but that was for their soul. Yeah. And it was without works. But it wasn't the fine linen. But a special kind of righteousness is the fine linen, clean and white. And that is when the wife was married and received the fullness of the faith of Christ. That's the fine linen, clean and white, is the fullness of the faith of Christ. Because prior to that, Paul and all of them were living, or the virgin was living under the faith of the Son of God. So when the marriage took place, the faith of Christ and the faith of Son of God married together and produced the fine linen, clean and white, which is the fullness of the faith of Christ. So I just wanted to add that in there a little bit. Okay, here you go. Amen.
You gonna sing? Amen, amen, amen. All right, appreciate what Barbara said there. That certainly is right. Amen. And we listen to these messages during the week. We'll maybe listen at a couple of times. And a lot of times we'll find saying, I wish I'd have said this there, I wish I'd have said that. And that's real good. And so what we're saying here is the same thing Barbara's bringing out there. Just she brought some details that was quickened to her. And that's the way God's people does. They'll see things. God lays this in there. It's not all written in the Bible, but then it's written about it. Let's see, what was that we were saying this week about? It's not written in there, but it's written that'll happen. Is that what it was we said? Amen. Amen. It just it's written in there that this is going to be here, going to take place, but not everything is written in the Bible in detail what we're doing. Yeah, what we're saying and doing up here. So that's where we got to move on. It's a special kind of righteousness. And so I appreciate that. Amen. That the righteousness of God is that way. So that'll be all for today. And we just thank God and praise God for all his goodness. And thank God for his ways. And let's all thank God for that righteousness that he has given us. And we don't work to get it. Amen. And yeah. This comes, he gives this to the wife without the saying, is there, come without money, come without pride. Amen. It's a righteousness that comes with marriage. Amen. So being married to the Lord, produce this righteousness. Amen, or it's given to you. This is the way he clothes his wife in fine linen, clean and white. So here we are today, just rejoicing in the Lord. Amen, not worrying about a lot of these things that the world and denomination and all. And then again, we don't want to take what they have. Amen. And Jesus said one time, leave them alone. And he made it known in his preaching, amen, his teaching, amen. There's different ones, has different things to do, amen. And Paul especially brought that out. And it what they do, that's the right thing for them. And we don't want to do something contrary. But when he came back, the feminine part of Christ came back in Revelation chapter 10, amen, that was a marriage, and we got that. We've gone over that, and I hope that that's good and clear. If you've been hearing these messages, of course it is. But a marriage took place, and now we're the wife of the Lamb, clothed in that fine linen, clean white, which is that righteousness that he's given us. Amen. So God bless you today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.